this time of year, every year, we release unto you a prisoner. And he brought out Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber, a thief, and a murderer. He was a bad guy.
There is nothing stronger
Well, if you're glad to be in church this morning, say amen.
Amen.
That's not too bad. We're in Matthew chapter 28.
I just love Easter Sunday. It is my favorite of the year. It is so exciting to me. And if you think I'm going off the deep end at some point in this message, I
can't describe it in any other way than if you've ever been to an event, maybe a sporting event, maybe something where you get so excited, you want to scream, or you can't verbalize what you want to say, and the words just don't come, and you get all flustered. Maybe it was that first time your wife kissed you, guys, and you were just all flustered, and you didn't. Well, I'm telling you, Easter Sunday for me, as a preacher of the gospel, I live for this day. It is the game changer in life. It is because of the resurrection that Christians can meet in a cemetery and celebrate. If it were not for that, there'd be no hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope for all mankind. Without it, there is nothing. And so forgive this old Baptist preacher for coming unglued at times. This just plain excites me. And we're going to see how we do this morning, and you're going to say, that guy has lost a few marbles. Oh, stand with me in Matthew chapter 28 as we look at the record recorded in the book of Matthew about the resurrection. In Matthew 28, verse number 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn forward toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Our Heavenly Father, help me this morning to convey to this audience the spectacular nature of what you have done. Before you died, you said you would rise again. Nobody does that, but you did. You healed the sick, raised the dead, walked on water, fed thousands with just a little bit of bread. John records that there is no way it could all be written down, all the things that you did while you were here, and you continue to do great things as you stand and sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are so thankful for our Savior this morning. We've sung songs, we've prayed, and now we're looking into your word, and I ask, please, that you would continue to meet with us as we discuss what you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's really nothing to compare it to. So much takes place in the story of the resurrection that you don't know where to start or what to cover. The resurrection chapter of the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was taught 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 was the gospel in a nutshell. And those verses say, the Apostle Paul speaking said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And in 1 Corinthians 15, it goes on to talk about all the people that saw him after the resurrection. It said he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that above 500 brethren at once. And so there was great crowds that saw him after the crucifixion, after he was buried. He absolutely rose again. It is a historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Not just in the Bible, it's recorded. There are other historical accounts of the fact of the resurrection. He arose. Say that with me. He arose. There's no doubt about that. Now, having that knowledge, knowing that God Almighty came down in the form of Jesus Christ, walked and talked among us, lived a perfect sinless life, was crucified, buried, rose again. And he did that to take your place and my place. We have to ask ourselves, how is that affecting my life? What do I think of Jesus Christ? Everybody's got to have an opinion. Now, whether you verbalize it or not, you are sitting here this morning in a place that you knew church was going to take place. You recognized it's Easter Sunday, and for some reason you decided to be in God's house. That wasn't by accident. And you're here this morning, and every one of us have to have an opinion about just exactly who this man, Jesus Christ, is. We sing on a day like today, up from the grave he arose. Now, maybe we don't sing quite like that, but we sing those words because, boy, growing up in a dead Baptist church, those were the most exciting songs that we sang. And it was so good. So what do we do today with the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I want us to see three people very quickly. I won't keep you long. We'll go over these. And for every one of these people I mention, three men, and then a fourth, I ask you this question. Does this describe you? First one, we talked about last week. There's a man in the Bible in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. He's called the rich young ruler. In Mark 10, 17, there was a guy that came to Jesus. And it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, if you're using a Pew Bible, we're on page 1055. When he's gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus saith to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. What God, Jesus was really saying to him is, if God is the only one that is good, he's asking him, really, are you calling me God? Been good if he had. But at this point, he was just calling him a good master. And so the account goes on as you look at it in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus says, well, what do the commandments say? And he lists off six commandments. And in verse number 18, he says, why callest thou me good? Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Jesus is speaking. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Those are the last six commandments of the Ten Commandments. In the first four commandments, the first four are honor, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And all of those first four commandments are commandments that have everything to do with our relationship with God Almighty. The last six have everything to do with our relationship to fellow man. So we've got the vertical commandments, first four. We've got the last six, which have to do with our interaction with mankind. Jesus, not just rattling off. You and I just talk at times. Just talking. We rattle off things, say things. Jesus never spoke just for the sake of speaking. He said those six commandments for a special reason. He was confronting him on how he interacted with others. And that man looked at Jesus, and Jesus didn't call him a liar. And he says, those things have I done since my youth. And then in Matthew, he asked the question, what lack I yet? And Jesus told him, then beholding him, Jesus loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And watch what happened. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So let's look at our young, rich young ruler the Bible describes this morning. Number one, he was a good guy, he's a hard worker, and he wanted to live. We can relate to that. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We went over the story. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Question, did he own the possessions or did the possessions own him? I'll ask you that again. Did he own his possessions or did his possessions own him? You know, we get all this stuff together. And what do you have that you are unwilling to part with in your walk with Jesus Christ? That, the problem was, is that he may not have broken the last six commandments, but he broke the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he was unwilling to give up his stuff. Now, I'm telling you this morning, if you want to walk with Jesus, maybe he'll ask for your stuff, maybe he won't. But your attitude and how you look at it is everything. The rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful. He walked away from the call of the Lord on his life. He wanted it, but he wasn't willing to do what was required. Question: does the rich young ruler represent you? Another one. I call him the short young ruler, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Did you ever learn that in Sunday school? Now, I'm telling you, we sang that growing up and we knew the story of Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was the one that could look at you and take your money. He was the IRS agent of the day. Only you and I, we pay the IRS, but it's an unseen thing. We don't even know who's taking it. I was on a cruise years ago, and we sat, of course, they assign you your tables, and people come there, and sat down with a couple that was from California, and by golly, she was an IRS agent. And I looked at her, and I'm thinking, I wonder what I really think of her. You know, they were a wonderful couple. We still write back and forth, and this was 30 years ago. It was Marjorie. Marjorie, the IRS agent. You and I don't see them. We just pay the taxes, and we have an opinion on that that I won't get into, okay? But in this day, they would come, and they would extract the money from you, and you had to pay what they said you owed, whether you agreed with it or not. And many of them were taking money. Some of it was going to the government, and some of it was going in their own pockets. And they didn't like them. Some of them were dishonest, and they had a reputation that, boy, you wouldn't want to walk alone at night. Something bad might happen to you. That was who Zacchaeus was. And in Luke chapter 19, the Bible records his story. And in verse number 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. How did he get that way? Huh? And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And they saw it and they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said, "Lord, listen to his testimony." Does this compare to the rich young ruler? "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." He was willing to do whatever was required. Unlike the rich young ruler, he didn't come to impress, he came to confess. Half of his wealth he gave to the poor. Those wronged he repaid four times. And listen to verse number 10 while Jesus is being criticized for meeting with sinners. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, Luke 19, 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you're lost this morning, Jesus is looking for you. If you're hurting this morning, Jesus is looking for you. I want you to know that he loves you just like he loved the rich young ruler. You notice when the Lord looked at that man and he did not want to part with his possessions, Jesus didn't look at him and says, "If you don't like me, I don't like you." Jesus loves everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you. He wants you. He's seeking for you. The rich young ruler would not part with his stuff. The short young ruler
was a man that was willing to do whatever the Lord required. Question, does the short young ruler represent you? I hope so. So we've got the rich ruler, the short ruler. Now we have the infamous regional ruler, Pontius Pilate, the prefect of Judea. Ever hear of him? Jesus is not famous because he met Pilate. Pilate is famous because he met Jesus. If you look at history, you look up Pontius Pilate, there's all kinds of stories about him, speculation, but very little is known about him. Who he was before, what happened to him after. Some people say he committed suicide. Some people say he became a follower of Christ. There's all kinds of things, but the fact is we do not know anything about Pilate other than what the Bible records in the gospel as he tells the story and his interaction with Jesus Christ. And I just want to say something this morning, Cornerstone. You'll not be judged on all the people that you know or how you go down in history and how many names are written on buildings that you may have paid for. You will be judged on what your interaction was with Jesus Christ. And that's how Pilate will be judged. The great question that Pilate asked is in Matthew 27, 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And I'm asking you this morning on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Because that was Pilate's conundrum as he stood before the Jews and Jesus was standing on the platform and he's asking the crowd what to do. Let me warn you something. Don't ask the crowd what to do with Jesus. You determine your own heart and mind what you're going to do with Jesus, because that's what will matter. Let's see what Pilate did, and if we would have done the same thing. He was questioning Jesus briefly in John chapter 18. If you have your Bible and you care to look at it, I'm referring to the interaction that took place in John chapter 18. That's on page 1140 and 41 in your pew Bible, if that's the source that you're using. As Pilate was questioning Jesus, I've often thought to myself, I wonder who was questioning who. You know, one thing about Christ is when he looked at you, he could see your soul. He knew exactly who Pilate was, what he was thinking, what he had for breakfast that morning. He knew what was going to happen to him tomorrow. When Jesus looks at you, he knows everything about you. You know what? He still loves you. It's humbling, isn't it? He looked at Pilate, and Pilate was asking him some questions. And so, let's go down through the questions that he asked. But before, he says to the crowd, what accusations have you brought to against this man? Why is he here? Why do I have him? And the crowd answers, well, he's a malefactor. In other words, he's a criminal. He's a bad guy. Trust us. And Pilate looked at him. See, in those days, the Jews had their own economy of government, if you will. They were allowed to arrest people. They were allowed to try people. They were allowed to convict people. Rome let them do what they wanted to do. They tried to get along and play nice with one another. But what the Jews could not do is they could not pass out a capital punishment. They could not kill. They could arrest. They could fine. They could imprison. But they could not pass a sentence of death on a criminal. Only Rome could do that. If you want someone to die, Rome has to convict them. So on this day, the Jews are looking for a capital crime. They have Jesus up there. Pilate says, what's the deal? Well, he's a bad guy. Well, you can try him by your own laws. He says, no, we can't pass a capital crime. We cannot pass a death sentence. That's up to you. And I think at that point, Pilate, as Jesus is standing there, he said, wait a minute. See, the Jews were always mad about something. They were always upset.
Pilate is coming to work that day to try to pacify the Jews. Let's just get these people to calm down, because if there's too much riot, if there's too much unrest, if there's too much problems, Rome will get involved and I'll lose my job. And it was a powerful job. It was a well-paying job. He was somebody. He was connected. Do you ever notice that people that are connected, whether in politics or wherever it is, how willingly do they give up their position? Something happens when you go down to Washington, D.C., drink the water. People don't want to leave. Something about all that limousine service and things going on and people calling you and wanting your opinion, and they get caught up in all of this. Not trying to be political, but our current senator said, I'll go for 2 terms and then I'll be done. About 25 terms later, she's still there. What happened? I'm just saying, something happens when you get that power, you can't let it go. Pilate's like that. He wants to keep the Jews happy because he wants to keep his job. But on the other hand, he's got a man here that they're trying to convict, say he's a criminal. Let's find out what he's done. Pilate says, are you the king of the Jews? Reply, do you ask that because you wonder, or did someone else tell you? This is what Jesus says. Did you hear that? Do I look like the king? Do you think that because you see me, or did someone else mention that to you? You know, we get ideas about people, places, and things from the things that we observe ourselves or things that people tell us. I don't know why, but I have one of these things. Anybody got one? They know everywhere I'm going. I'll get home 2 or 3 days later. Hey, you were at Longhorns. Tell us what you thought. At the end of the month, they'll say, you drove so many places. Do you want to see where you went? I don't care where I've been. That's in the past. I'm more concerned about where I'm going. But they can show you maps. They show all of these things. And so people develop opinions based on some of the reports that idiots like me fill in on the phone. And they will determine certain things based on a Yelp review, Google, spam, any other kind of meat you can think of, you know, just different things, okay? They'll develop opinions. Will you be careful what you develop an opinion on by some of the news sources and things that are trying to feed you? I got an idea for you. Why not be plugged into this book right here and get your wisdom from God Almighty? You judge people on the merits of what they say, what they do, and what they represent. Not only that, you can also tell a lot about people by the folks that are their friends. If you're wondering how to vote on a particular issue, find out who their friends are, who they're hanging out with. And a lot of times, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, you are influenced by the company that you keep, Christian. I recommend that on Sunday you be influenced by God's people, this crowd right here. Now, we're not perfect. I am, but most people are not. But I'll tell you what, this crowd right here, we're not, but I throw my hat in the ring with you, but you folks right here. I like you. I do. These are my people. I love God's people. I love hanging out with them. I love telling stories. I love talking to them. The whole process. Let me tell you, you'll not be disappointed. Now, you'll be disappointed some Sundays. If there's a guest speaker, you'd be disappointed. But if there's, you know, different things that can happen that will but for the most part, if you enjoy the fellowship of God's people, say amen. Truly, truly. So Jesus says to Pilate, did you get that idea yourself or did someone else say it to you? Then he says to him, so what have you done? Jesus answered, I'm abbreviating all this. You can read it in John chapter 18. Jesus said, I spoke the truth. And that's what got me in trouble. Because Jesus was the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's narrow, but that's what the Bible requires. And if you think you're getting to heaven by being a good person, by your works, by anything other than Jesus Christ, you are not going. He is the only way. Along with him being the way, he's the truth. He never told a lie in his life. He never even thought a lie. Satan is the liar and the father of it. If you've been misled, it's because you've been following Satan and not Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Pilate said, what'd you do? He said, I spoke the truth. Pilate looked at him and says, what is truth? What is truth? And he bargained and he tried. And so he says, well, we have a deal. At this time of year, every year, we release unto you a prisoner. And he brought out Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber, a thief, and a murderer. He was a bad guy. We have Jesus Christ over here standing here, perfect. We have Barabbas over here as a known criminal, a murderer. A lowlife. If you're a believer in capital punishment, and I am, I believe the Bible teaches it. This guy was so heinous, so horrible, so bad, that if they said, we need someone to pull the lever on the electric chair, I'd say, I'll do that for you. Somebody's got to do it. Jesus over there was perfect. He said, who do you want me to release unto you, Barabbas or your king, Jesus? He gives them some time to think about it. And the Bible records that while they're thinking about it, the leaders, the chief priests, the elders, they talked the crowd into asking for Barabbas rather than Christ. Pilate comes back out. While he's sitting back there waiting for the crowd to decide, his wife comes to him and says, I've had many bad dreams about this Jesus, and I'm telling you, you want no part of this thing. You get out of this. Do not have anything to do with this. I don't know what her dreams came from or all that was about, but the Bible records that. He comes back out and he says, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? They said, release unto us Barabbas. And he said, what will I do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate says, you want me to crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Can you imagine? Pilate had the power to release Jesus, to do the right thing. But he decided on that day, he was more concerned about the crowd than he was about anything else. And he chose poorly. And Jesus Christ was taken off to be crucified, and a guilty, rotten sinner named Barabbas was released. They killed my Savior that day. They nailed him to a cross. He said 7 things. We won't go over that. When it was all said and done, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died. But 3 days later, he rose again. Are you being judged by the crowd on the way that you look at Jesus? Let me tell you something. Don't go there. Do not be concerned about what the crowd thinks. You be concerned about what all God Almighty thinks about how you treat his son. But I want to close with this thought. You know, at Christmas time, we sing this song, Mary, Did You Know? I won't try to sing it. I don't know the lyrics. And it would be horrible if it anyway. But it talks about, did you know that your boy, when you kissed his face, you're kissing the face of God? Did you know that your son would walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead? Mary, did you know? And then I thought, Barabbas, did you know that God took your place? Barabbas, did you know that you were the first ever
to be pardoned for your sin and someone die in your place. Barabbas, did you know that from now on, every breath you breathe, your life should have ended, but Jesus Christ extended it? Barabbas, did you know? Barabbas, did you go off as a changed man after someone took your place, recognizing that every day you live now is a gift? Because you should be dead. Barabbas, did you know? And if we could follow Barabbas and find out if he was a changed man or not, or if we could follow Barabbas and find out that that jerk didn't care one lick, and he went out and committed more crimes, broke more laws, and thumbed his nose in the face of the law and said, I got away with it. Wouldn't that just infuriate you? It wouldn't me. We are all Barabbas. Jesus Christ took our place. And we can recognize that meeting Christ extends our life. You see, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Now, I don't care what the crowd thinks. I don't care what people think. I care what God Almighty thinks. And Heavenly Father, I want you to know Stan Griffin loves Jesus Christ. And he rose again, and he took your place. Are you like the rich young ruler? Unwilling. The short-run young ruler? Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm in. Or Pilate? Just not sure. Who can I make happy today so that my life will not be too terribly uncomfortable? The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. You going to do it now? Or are you going to do it later? If you do it now, you'll have eternal life. If you do it later, when you stand before Him, it will be too late.